Thou would that men would be everywhere, stand and lift up holy hands unto God. Amen. Praise his wonderful name. Let us lift our hands to this great God, who we worship, in whose presence we stand. Father, we thank you. We join our hearts, Lord. We come with a blessed privilege to be in your house tonight. As part of a little family, a whole church, Lord. People that you have brought from different walks of life. Lord God, we assemble here in this one place, Father.
Thank you.
To become part of a local assembly, part of your body on the face of the earth, a channel, an instrument, that you might fulfill your will, Lord, in this hour. And Lord, to this we consecrate ourselves, to this we come seeking you in prayer. To this we come, Lord God, desiring a closer walk, a deeper experience, that we might truly be what you ordain us to be in this hour, Lord. And we might now ascend and come into that place through the leadership of the Holy Spirit. We might be empowered, Lord God, and be equipped and fortified to become the instrument in your hand that you might fulfill all of your will in this hour. Oh, it means so much to us, Lord, that we want to make ourselves available to you, to your service, Lord, to the fulfilling of your will, Lord. We want to see this church revive and continually be revived. A place that you can always come down in our midst, Lord. You can always manifest your spirit. You can always perform your great works. You can always flow to every member, Lord. You can always do great, marvelous acts that will draw others in the come to know you in this hour. Oh, blessed be your wonderful name. We thank and we praise you, Lord. We worship you tonight, Lord. We lift up your great, mighty name. We exalt the lovely name of Jesus Christ. We acknowledge your presence. Yea, not like unto you, Lord. You alone are the true and living God. You are the God who deserves to be worshipped. The God who deserves to be praised. We lift you up, Lord. We magnify the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Because there is no greater name, Lord God, than the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you, we praise you. Knowing there is salvation in that name. There is healing in that name. There is victory in that name. There is power in that name. When we come praying in that name, whatever we ask the Father, we have it, Lord. When we believe it, we have received it. And so we thank you, Lord, knowing every prayer that was offered tonight was offered in that lovely name. Oh, God, we thank you, Jesus. We praise your wonderful name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. And amen. And amen. Open up your Bible tonight. We'd like to read out of Ecclesiastes 6, a couple of places, Ecclesiastes 6 and St. John, Gospel also, 6. Amen. Bible says, when you stand praying, believe that you have received what you ask for, and you shall have it. No, whenever we come, we don't come based on our own strength or how we feel. If we come, we don't even feel right. We can say, Lord, forgive me. We can still have forgiveness. We can repent. We can confess our sins and put it in the blood. And then through confession and faith, all the power of heaven is subject to us. So a prayer meeting is a place no believer should ever be dumb or wondering. Because if you understand what God has done for us and how we can come before him and how he's willing to forgive us our sins. And we know that all these things God taught us when we saw his willingness in the ashes of the red heifer and all these things to cleanse us and to maintain fellowship with us. So it's a God who's interested in maintaining fellowship. If there's no fellowship, we are the ones who refuse to fellowship with him. We are the ones who refuse to talk to him and spend time in his presence and worship him. But as far as God concerned, even before the sin, he had that ashes of the red heifer. He was thinking about it, but he wanted to keep in fellowship with his people. So I trust you feel that in your heart tonight. And it takes faith to believe God will in every area and to exercise in it. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. Ecclesiastes 6, verse 7. All the labor of man is for his mouth, and yet the appetite is not filled. All the labor of man is for his mouth, and yet the appetite is not filled. The mouth is just symbolic of the appetite, because we have all kinds of appetites. All our desires would constitute what our appetite is for. And we want to turn over into St. John, chapter 6, verse 26. Jesus answered them and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath the Father, God the Father, sealed." Then said they unto him, "What shall we do that we might do the work the works of God?" And Jesus answered and said unto them, "This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent." And St. John 4, just a couple of verses here to go with that. Speak of the Lord's service. Verse 31. In the meanwhile, his disciples besought him, saying, "Master, eat." But he said unto them, "I have meat to eat that you know not of." Therefore said the disciples one to another, "Hath any man brought him anything to eat?" Jesus said unto them, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say not you, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest? Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal. That both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And here is that same true. One soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that on which you bestowed no labor. Other men labor, and you are entered into their labors." The Lord bless you, His word. You may have a seat. Just a little word of exhortation here. That we might be kept revived. We might be kept focused. We might be kept in the channel where God can keep our faith stimulated. You know, each believer desires to see the faith in their heart operative whenever God is requiring of them to act and to serve on His behalf. You know, sometimes you look at your own self and you think, you know, what should be done or what could be done or what ought to be done. But yet it seems that there is no energy to carry out the thoughts. It seems that there is no inspiration. There's no strength to rise up and do what is to be done. If we take the Bible, everyone could say, "I believe I should be doing that. I believe I should be praying. I believe I should be reading. I believe it's right to testify. I believe, you know, I should be supporting the gospel. I believe I should be, you know, out there trying to do something for the Lord. I believe it's the end time. I believe that, you know, life is so short. And when I watch my life that I've lived already, and I examine it to see what quality and what measure of service has been rendered for the Lord or for myself, I say, mostly what I've done has been for myself. When I look at my efforts and my sacrifices and my time, my energy, I see this for myself. And yet when I see for myself, then it don't really glorify God. I could think I'm giving God glory for it by saying, "God, give me this, and God, give me this, and God, give me this, and God, give me this." And we think we do God a favor by glorifying God to say, "Give it to us." But it is for our own self. It is for our own glory. It is not for the kingdom of God. It is not for the benefit of the kingdom. It is not for the interest of the gospel. It is not for the advancement of the work. It is not for the finishing up of the work. And so the scripture says here so clearly, all the labor of man is for his mouth, and yet the appetite is not filled. People labor and labor and labor and labor and labor. And we can work and work and work and work and work, and yet our work amounts to nothing. It is work that is, Jesus said, when he breaks them down to labor, he said, there's two kinds of meats that a man could labor for. He said, labor not for meat that perisheth. That's the kind for the mouth. That's the kind where the appetite is not satisfied. There's a satisfaction that comes in the heart of the believer when they fulfill the word of God. There's an uneasiness. There's a condemnation. There's a conviction that resides in the believer when they're ratting on God's job. Think of it. Jesus, with the gift that he had, they tried to make him a king. Could you imagine that? How many men in the Bible? They tried to make him king. I know what influenced them to make him king. They had so much of political unrest in that time, so much economic problems. All you have to do is read where John was telling them, be content with your wages. You know, if Jesus said they go for 1 mile, go for 2 miles and different things. Why? Because the people were being oppressed by the Roman power. They were being exploited. And so you find that Jesus, when he came, you know, multiplied bread and fish, turned water into wine. They figure, well, praise God, every economic problem is solved. We have a man who can straighten out the economics. We have a man who can, put food on every table. We have a man who can help the poor people. We don't have to go to the doctors. Every sick person can be healed. We don't need to set up a hospital. We don't need to set up industries. We have a man here who can, level up the playing field, as they would say. And they tried to make him king. They said, this is the kind of king we wanted. But he didn't come to establish that kind of kingdom. He said, my kingdom is not of this world. He came to a greater kingdom. A kingdom where men have to be born again to come into that kingdom. A kingdom that was going to be not in the world only, but in word and power. A kingdom that not even the religions in the place that they were was going to be able to come into. And so when we see him here in the gospel, he says, my meat. They say, Lord, eat. He said, I have meat that you don't know of. He said, my meat is good, would have not sent me. And to finish his work. And here we see in St. John 4, at the beginning of his ministry, St. John 3 was the first doctrine he ever preached, you must be born again. At the very beginning of his ministry, his whole outset was the work that was to be done. Until this end was he born, for this cause came into the world. The life that is lived by faith. The life that is governed and influenced by the revelation that has been revealed to you to show you who you are and what God has brought you into the earth for and why God, in his grace, brought this message to you. This is your real purpose. And here, as Jesus began to speak that, and then he tells him, he says, say not that there are 4 months. In other words, don't say, well, I have time, I can do this, I can do that, and I will still have some time later, I will check that out too. He said, don't say that. Don't postpone the things that can be done now and ought to be done now and give them priority to. Remember one time in Matthew 5 and 6, where they was anxious for what they was going to eat and what they was going to wear and what they was going to do. And Jesus said, look. He says, isn't the life more than the body? And isn't the body more than the raiment? And he saw how under pressures people can, especially economic pressure, lose the vision or get the vision paralyzed or blurred as to what their priorities ought to be. And so they overemphasize the importance of temporal things that Jesus said, that meat you labor for, just go into your body and go and withdraw. That's finished right there. You eat a nice plate of food and you glory over it, wait, it goes in the toilet next day. You wear a nice piece of clothing and you find it so glorious and so special and give a certain feeling. And wait the next couple of years, it's tattered and torn. It's gone. And so realize that all these things is so temporal. that sometimes in the subtlety of the enemy, he hybrids a person's spirit. And from the time you begin to lose your originality, then you find that things that you ought to have under your feet and things that you ought not to have to influence you or should be, because it's confined to its place, it cannot exceed its boundaries of influence in your life. You get up in the morning, you brush your teeth, you realize what you need to do, so you do that. You get up in the morning, comb your hair. You gotta comb your hair all day. Or you gotta brush your teeth all day. Then you take something that is for 2 minutes and you make it 8 hours. And then 6 hours, you have overemphasized something that, you know, wasn't intended or should never have been that strong an influence to deter you. And so realize that this purpose that Jesus had when it was revealed to him, when he saw what he was called for, what he was born for, when he saw the time running out, when he knew that he had to redeem the time. And he tells him, I must go into other place and preach the gospel because it's so hard to sow the seed. And he couldn't wait. And when they looked at him, he was praying all night because he had to have that anointing for the healing services. These certain kinds never went out except by prayer and fasting. And he knew a lot of people was trapped with those kind of demons that would need somebody who is praying, who is fasting, who is available to the Holy Spirit, who is meeting the condition required for the deliverance of certain people. It wasn't just everybody said, Rabbi, what a great teacher. Rabbi, well, he couldn't live in that realm of the popularity that people could be attracted by of one saying, never a man speak like this. Because that couldn't deliver the people. He had to keep focus. Keeping focus is a great thing. It's not, Brother Ram says in Sidon Eden, he said, today something is with me, tomorrow is a million miles from me in this age. The kind of age we live in is a neurotic age. It's a pressure upon the age. Technology have advanced to the place. It has made man so materialistic in his thinking. It's like a web. A man has to break through to keep his mind spiritual. And that is why this age is such a great age to live in and overcome. But sometimes, in looking at our own selves and measuring our own selves and qualifying our own selves, we find satisfaction in at least I am backsliding. At least I am drinking. At least I am out in the world entangled. At least I am. That is not service. That is fighting to maintain abstinence. Jesus is talking about service. My meat is to do the will and to finish the work. There's a will to do and there's a work to finish. And that is before him like this. It's a great thing when you see that revelation is burnt into your heart after you receive it, then to go forth and to manifest it is something else. Jesus knew what he was born for. I believe when he walked out from there, banks of the Jordan River, he knew fully well what the entire ministry is going to be. Since the age of 12, he was talking to them lawyers and doctors in the temple, things in the scriptures, that they couldn't even understand what he was saying. He so understood the mystery of the Messiah, the forerunner, the age, the purpose of the Messiah was coming, the being born under the law, made of a woman, made under the law, that might receive the adoption. He knew it was shown in the sky. He knew the gifts the wise men brought. He knew what it all meant. He knew he was the Passover lamb. He knew he was born in a stable. He knew the shepherds came. He understood them things. He knew how to relate to him. But then to go forth and to do it. We see how many times he was met with obstacles. Bible says he was tempted on all points. We saw him in Gethsemane striving against the risen under blood. If it's possible, let his cup pass. It wasn't just a walk over. Knowing it and doing it is two extremes of the same thing. But knowing it is never doing it. Knowing it don't mean it's done. Knowing it don't even mean the first part of it is done. Look at the prophet. When he's wrapping the job, God says, you're wrapping the job. God gave him dreams. 1965. And he said, oh God, I'm wrapping the job. Because back in 1963, God told him, he says, go back into evangelism until that time comes. He saw the moon black out. He saw the priest come and hand the book. He saw the rock drop. He saw judgment start in the earth. He saw the cloud turn. And yet he was wrapping the job. And God said, go back into evangelism. And then he came and preached ashamed. He said, come back for a new place of faith. Many times we come and we feel kind of dumb. He says, Lord, I come for a new burst of faith, Lord. What do we mean? We don't want to feel dumb. When he gave a new burst of faith, it was to go and do the work. To continue in the work, to stay steadfast. In other words, to stay overcoming. When he preached, how can I overcome? What he called victory is keeping life in you that keeps the word being made manifest continually. He said, you're going to be right in the water and be twice as rotten. He said, the log right in the water, the thing that's supposed to give life to the log, is rotten it right there in the water. It can't keep life in it. And he showed the overcoming in this day to sit with him in his throne. How can I overcome? Showing every age there was a test. Every age they had to overcome. Laodicea is rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. That's the spirit that brings people lukewarm. Then God spits you out of his mouth. It's pure. You know why? It gets him sick to his stomach and make him vomit. You mean people in a soft Laodicean condition having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof? Because they've lost their fire for the service of God. They lose the zeal and the enthusiasm. They no longer, you know, it don't stimulate them. It don't inspire them. It don't make them rejoice. It don't spur them on forward to see what God is doing. Because they're relating to the things of God from a distance. It's not an involvement, not a participation. It's not the life, it's not being lived in the realm where the experience is an experience. The life is being lived where it's a teaching. But the teaching is not the experience. And the teaching is not the possession. I could sit down here and explain to you everything about a car and tell you what it is, how much miles will do, how much gas you'll get on the gallon, how much miles will get on the gallon of gas, and tell you everything about it, and you don't have it. You might be able to go and tell somebody the same car afterwards. You know what I'm saying? And that is why when it becomes in the people's minds that they get veiled from it, it is need reawakening. And reawaken to the point of where now they want to become in the experience, from teaching to experience to reality. You hear it, you recognize the truth. Then the acting upon it is what brings it real. It's what makes it spirit and life. That is why when a condition comes, people find that they know about it, they could explain it, but they're powerless. Why? It was only a teaching. Because the teaching never became spirit and life. And there is no way you can become spirit and life and don't be lived out. There's no way you can become spirit and life and not become visible. That is where man sees with the eye what God saw in the heart. Remember, God saw it in the heart by predestination and he spoke it. In that realm, everybody can claim it. Even the unbeliever can say, I am justified. I am legally and formally acquitted from guilt by God as a judge.
Thank God for the atonement. Thank God for the ashes of the well heifer. I'm free. In that realm, even the unbeliever can claim it. But then when works his faith express, when the just shall live by his faith, from man to see the eye, you own. Then in that realm now, where you have to come to the hammer and start to build the ark with no rain coming and standing in the midst of scoffers and mockers, where you have to buy the booties for the baby and prepare the crib while the doctor tells you it can't happen. Then you see who God really justified. You understand what I'm saying? In that realm is different. Now every people has received what it takes to put them in that realm in potential. Because from the time the revelation has been released to you, it means God's intention is to put you in that realm, potential. He's not speaking it to you for you not to get there. He's speaking it to put you there. But you let so many things shake you out of it. You let your wife, you let your children, you let your house, you let your car, you let your job, you let your friends. You say, oh church, why do you hunger, why do you thirst? How many know the quote? For the last 20 years we quoted it, Christ, mission, God revealed. This great secret of God. It is the person who get a hold of it and get a hold of them who don't rest until it comes in. Until they know it lives. It lives in them. Because you meet situations from day to day. And they don't make you live for yourself either. You see, when you understand your place in Christ, then you realize what is required. And then you see how you serve in that place. What is required in that place in this age? You are a believer in this age. What is required of a believer in this age? Not just a believer in this age. In this age of the rapture. In this age of the seven tongues utter his voices. In this age of the gathering of the bride. In this age of the finishing of the mystery. Finishing of the commission. In this age of the manifestation of the sons of God. In this age when the last part of the ministry is left for people. In this age where the bride have a revival. Seven tongues is the bride revival. To literally turn their heart back to the faith of their fathers. What kind of people the faith of their fathers were? What kind of faith they have? How they walk? How they live? To see what we turn back to. If it's a quote and we don't see what we turn back to, we can live contrary to how they live, yet keep quoting back and forth. Because you are a mirror. When I look at Adam, Peter and Paul and them, I don't see what the minister was back there. You as a church, I don't see what was back there. You as a deacon, as a trustee, as a song leader, as a singer, had to see what it was back there. As a father, as a mother, had to see what it was back there. What kind of man Stephen was, what kind of man Peter was, what kind of man Paul was, what kind of man Barnabas and them was. That we ought to see. That this revelation turns us back. What kind of people were those when they came together and the presence of God would come down and the angel picked them up and sent them to different places and the communication they had with God and the fearlessness in which they stood, the boldness in which they preached the gospel and how they handled the persecution, the rejection, the opposition. And when we look at it, we see it. Isn't that right? Sure. So here he says, all the labor of man is for his mouth. And yet his appetite is not filled. That is why he's laboring. And that's why he's continually to labor. His appetite. He lacks contentment. And the reason he lacks real contentment, he first lacks godliness. It says godliness with contentment is great gain. Not contentment with godliness, you know. Godliness first, with contentment. But if you lack godliness, don't expect him to have contentment. And if you don't have contentment, his appetite will never be filled. And if his appetite is not filled, he's going to keep living from that perishing. But Jesus, he said, "Live for me that perisheth not. My meat is to finish the work. It's a work to finish me." Remember, in this age, we are not sitting down in the beginning of the church age, seeing another age. We are sitting down on this side of the book. We are not before the seven seals open. We are on this side where the seven seals have been opened. In other words, we are on this side where the whole age is finished. We are on this side where the rapture is taking place. Think of it. We are on this side where we know the world is marked for judgment. It's finished. We understand the things that are getting stronger is the mark of the beast. It's given over to Satan to become the god of it. Who is going to stop Satan from being enthroned as God? It's prophesied. His five I wills will come to pass. The believer here just wants to be contented. God gave you food on your table. God gave you clothes on your back. God gave you a shelter over your head. That is it, friends. So you can do the work of God. You don't leave the work of God undone to keep satisfying an appetite for something. You might say, "God giving, God giving." It's not really God. You might think he's God. You have to know. Because if it's not to the advancement of God's kingdom, if it's not for the gospel finishing up the work, it's nothing. It's for self. And that is why I see that a deceitful age, just like a snare, will come upon the whole world. The cares of this life choke the seed. And you, that Paul told Timothy, don't get entangled in the affairs of this life. Lot wanted to be a mayor. Lot pitched it into Sodom because his mind was more influenced with economics. Abraham went into the desert because his mind was more taken with the promise. Think of it. Moses forsook Egypt because man was taken with the promise. Balaam sell out for the wages of unrighteousness because his mind was more taken up with prosperity. Elisha was more taken up with the mantle of Elijah and finishing the commission. Gehazi was more taken up with prosperity. Joshua was taken up with doing all Moses said and taking the promise. Achan was taken up with the Babylonian garment and the golden wedge. I could go on like that all night. I have 15 or 20 other examples I could give you to show you. But it's just an exhortation to show you that labor for me that perisheth not. Know your boundaries. Know your balance. Know the influence in your life. Morality is not taking it away. The Holy Ghost in this age, that was in the prophet, wasn't morality. Though he was a moral man. Never drink or smoke. Even before he get the Holy Ghost. When the Holy Ghost came in him, it was to fulfill Malachi 4:5, to fulfill Revelation 10:7, to fulfill Luke 7:38, to fulfill John 14:12, to fulfill Mark 16. The Holy Ghost came to fulfill the word, to prove what age it was. So if the Holy Ghost in us and we're not fulfilling the word, but we are wrong the word, we're going along with people in the word, that's not it. Watch the lines. Be understand the age you live in. It's a great time. I was reading something here. I'll quote out of a book I bought in Jerusalem when I was there about ancient Jewish sages. And I struck something in here, I read it, and it really inspired me, and I wrote it down. I always kept it in my Bible. It said the Jewish sages has a saying, in that who is wise? The Jewish sages have a saying, who is wise? He who knows his place. knows mean not only intellectual recognition, but existential identification. Not just recognition, intellectual recognition. Knowing don't mean that. Oh, I recognize this to be this or this to be this. No. They say knowing, and they say for this reason, at the age of 50, one becomes able to counsel. 50 years old to counsel one's fellow man. In Jewish culture, you have to become 50 years old to be able to counsel somebody. Or before they could accept your counsel is wise counsel. Because the essence of counsel is helping one find his true place in this world. You catch that? The essence of, in other words, people want to influence people and talk to people and help people. The greatest advice, the greatest counsel for somebody to go through life's journey and come out successful is teaching that person to understand how they make up, where they fit in the economy of God, where their purpose is coming through. So they wouldn't be trying taking somebody else's place or doing the wrong thing or think they're in this place and trying to get that place. Where do you hold mystery the message? Place in. Where do you hold mystery of Joshua ministry? Place in. Where's adoption? Place in. Predestinated doctrine and inheritance. Your place in your position. What is perfect faith? Knowing your position. Understanding your position. What is the evidence of the Holy Ghost? Recognizing what part of the wood you are, not somebody else's part. Where's the state? The Holy Ghost. New creation. Pentecost. The essence of counseling. See, sometimes we want to be counselors, but the essence of counseling is to help one find his true place in the world. Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah.
Amen. Let's labor in this hour. For meat that perisheth not. I was talking to the brothers from Guyana today. And they're coming in on Thursday. And five of them is coming. The brother from Suriname and his wife, I'm told. And Brother O'Brien, the song leader. And Brother George from Bonsika is coming in on Thursday, and we want to have the meetings Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And the purpose of these meetings is for exposure for these brothers. The purpose of these meetings is not like, in other words, there's not meetings where we come to preach, and that's not the pull. The pull is you have to minister, all of you, you come here, to these who come. In your way, if you know your place, you can minister to them. See, because the whole purpose of the exposure is to strengthen the ties and the working relationship for the work that we believe is to be done in this region. These ties, recently we have made some effort to strengthen these ties with these brothers by going to Guyana, having these administration meetings, then sending Brother Mervyn into Suriname and Guyana to see the work there and to come back and also to take the offering that we had sent there to help the brother build a church. And you know, we are certainly trying by God's grace to really strengthen these ties that the work can be done. It's a great work. It's a lot of work. We are not nearly started. I can't say we do no work. We're not doing no work yet. We're still trying to set up infrastructure. All this visit and bringing them, get them exposed and different things is that I realize if I go 10 times or send somebody 10 times, it still don't amount to much as if they could come and see. When they could come and see, then they can, just by being here and being among the people, can see and experience rather than try to imagine when they are told and develop a concept without even being present. You understand? And this is so necessary for the work there in those countries and for the exposure that it might serve to inspire these saints. And we certainly would want to do everything that we can to make it comfortable for them, to be an enjoyable time for them, and we'll have the saints from Princeton and Cedrus as well. And so we normally would have it in May when we'd have our anniversary meetings for the dedication of the building, but we didn't have it due to how things went and being in and out. And so we thought that this would be appropriate to give a quick follow-up to our brother who had went and visit them, and after meeting them there in Guyana as well with myself, that we could serve to keep that fire burning in their hearts, and then by bringing them there to even ignite it in a greater way. And that we too can get the sense and grow in the understanding that we are not coming here for ourselves, but part, the greater part of the gospel is if we could get ready, then we can be used to do something. Just as God has had to get one man ready and use him, God has to get a church ready to use a church. So all of our preaching over the years has just been to get the church ready so that it can be used of God to do something. As I was giving you testimony of what happened in Bulgaria and China and Greece and different places, and this is things happening. This is brothers doing something. We are here trying to do something. And that's why, with this in mind, I say, let's labor for me that perisheth not. Let's put our energies where the harvest is ripe and the laborers are few. We have to be convinced that the gospel needs every man to stand at the forefront and be involved. This is not the time to draw back and get entangled. This is not the time to get cool off and get our mind on temporal things and sort of labor with fervency for temporal things. We've been trying 20 years under the message to get free of temporal things to labor fully in God's service. Isn't that right? And then what have we gotten done? Nothing. We build a building for ourselves. We build a fellowship house for ourselves. We have a side office for ourselves. You know what I'm saying? God help us, he's able to send an offering to help somebody else build a church. We started to want to do something. See? We're trying to get these brothers here to come. So we don't go over there and be lords over them. We don't develop a culture. We are better than you all. You keep looking at us. No. You come, we share our experience, you see your experience, and then you go with your experience that you gain from coming here, and you do your work you have to do over there. And when we can help, we make ourselves available. Amen. See, that's what it is. The same way you had no ministers in the church, you had to get a couple of them, train them, get them involved with the ministry, let them learn the ways and the principles of the ministry, and then they start a minister. Same way you get people singing in the deacon room, everything. And then they look, well, the same in a church too, on a church level. Get it going. And it'll be something that could really be a witness for the Lord. You know why? Because the denomination is not waiting on you. I want the denomination to move and sweep the place. In them places, and grip many people and have them bound up, it make the work that much more difficult. Because why? Men should be trained to carry the word. When men should, you see, sometimes we get that kind of Calvinistic understanding, and we say, what will be. If they're not coming, they'll come in. That's what Calvin taught. And went clean on the extreme. You see, God has had to come. Why did Paul have to be beaten and thrown in jail? And after licks two times in jail, two times in shipwreck, two times in snake bite jail, and then he can say, man, who God will bring, God will bring. God said, he'll be out in the main room. But he had a hold of that plank out for 14 days. 7 days in the water without trying to get drunk. Fight for your life, though God say you're going to lose your life. Every time you drink water and going down. Come out and snake bite you. And still you have to say, you have to build all that. Chain on you ain't take off yet. You know what I'm talking about? Don't have no carnal on the side of your mind. Just quote scripture left and right. Understand, when God tells you to do something, God is mean. You'll need my faith to do it. You'll need my virtue to do it. And to prove it's my virtue and my faith in you, it'll have mountain before you, it'll have obstacle before you. Paul said, I fought with peace at Ephesus, have to go in the salvation world. When he went in, he going to run for his life when he get opposition and persecution. God said, no, stay right here and be it. I have people in this city. Is that right? Yeah. They stoned them and just like, you run. And God didn't tell him, go back. God said, escape for your life. Run quick! Could you imagine God were delivering you, warning you, and you had to do the running? They land on a basket over a wall. How many in the Bible? You think God can give Paul and Elijah and smite them blind and walk out with the chest stick out? Because he smacked a man blind one time too. Oh, I think he was being coward when he landed on the basket. No. That was being coward. That's faith. Faith to believe when God says run and don't look back. Sure. You see what happened? People that don't imagine the Bible. And that's why that little imaginary world is so powerless. You'll be tied up with the least of things. Little worldly things will tie you up. You walk in the spirit, friends, where the world is real and God is real. Waiting brothers have brother Brown and Porter creates cruel and brother to put in life so you wouldn't get shot with infrared lens in communist countries that have packed them all on the meeting and put his head in front of him so they wouldn't shoot him. You think I say, I'm the prophet of God, man, God is with me, the angel is with me. You think he's so foolish to say that? No, you see, don't tempt God. You don't go and play carnality with God. God is making you run, God is making you hide. God will teach you fear, and then God will teach you comfort and peace. Sure. Exactly right. Friends, God is real. This whole thing is an experience for development and training. This whole thing is coming to know this God we're talking about, not church. To relate with this God. When you come to him that way, let me tell you, it's powerful. Family is over 5 hours. We talk about sins. I ain't gonna meet up sins like that for 18 years. Preaching. As a pastor dealing with people's problems. And to see the Holy Spirit come down there and being able to go back in about 2-3 generations of the people. And begin to bring it down to show them how the sins pass, where it was. Prove them things to them. Such an intelligence of the Holy Spirit. Up in the bedroom for 5 hours. And then come up here in the evening. And I come up here, I'm so drained and tired. I just sat by side and tried to get refreshed with singing a little bit. But to see the power of the Holy Spirit there. That come down there. And the thing that had to be told the people, the father, the mother, the father, in their face, tell them about the one. In love and correction. And show them the way now to come out, to have it removed completely, that the plague might be stopped. Like sweeping through the house. Where your daughter's down there, a rock lesbian. No hope. She said, I don't feel. Listen to me. She said, I feel like I'm this and I can't move. And not actually want to be delivered, but that devil will kill every hope of release and deliverance until it. It has made her feel she has to accept and live that way. You don't try to think who it is, you just try to think of the thought I'm trying to show the power of God. See, your mind and get your curiosity to kill the cat. Who it is not important to you. What is important to you, I'm trying to show the power of God in your walk, in the presence of God, in the word of God. That's the point I'm trying to bring. I wouldn't even say this if I didn't have something to try to tell you of the God now and what God is doing now for people. And why we ought to be in a certain way now. That's what I'm telling you. Because it's not important for you to know those things. See? But the thing is to see where we ought to stand. And that's why some of us, when we sit down there, we don't look for a way to hide our troubles. We come to the God who can solve our troubles. We bring our problems to the God who can take care of it. And if we know that God will take care of it, there's a willingness always to be released from it. There's a resentment to ever stay in it. You never want to stay in it once that God can take care of it. Let me tell you, if you understand that something wrong, if there's a God say, I want to take care of it, come with it! Like I told the people, I say, sins could never be redder than this. I said, those sins could never be redder than this. But he said, though they be red as crimson, and though it be as scarlet. He says, come, without money, without price. Sure. Something more than my yesterday. Let's just sing, worship a little bit before we go. You want something more? More of the Holy Ghost? Just sing out your soul, something more. Something more. Himself. He gave me something worldly sinful. Oh, sing it again. Lift up our hands, something more. Let it be our prayer request tonight. As we go, our final request to Him. I want to be stronger for tomorrow's service, to deal with tomorrow's problems, face the obstacles. Hallelujah. I don't want to shrink back. God is promising that He wants to give it to you tonight. He's the greatest giver the world has ever known.
Your faithfulness, your holiness.
might be a living praise.
Might be a living praise.
Oh, draw me deeper tonight. Change you from what you are to make you what you want you to be. That's what we desire. That's what we want. Oh God, you are more than able to do it for us. We yield, we submit, Lord, we glorify. We acknowledge that you are able to do this unto us, Lord. Yea, Lord, hallelujah. Be unto us according to your word, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory and praise be unto your name. Make it a reality, make it a possession, Lord. Hallelujah. Make it something real, substance. Not a mirage, not an illusion, Lord, a reality. On the inside of the inside, something that will govern and influence and control our lives, oh God, will bind us with its cords, with its chains, and bring us in submission to it, oh God. Hallelujah. May you grant it, Jesus. Hallelujah. May you grant it tonight. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, how I long. Amen. Take me and separate me. How I long to be loved in your. Do you feel yielded to him tonight? Feel contentment.
Feel contentment.
No, I'll be talking to you. Oh, my soul. Yeah, you speak.
Pavilion.
under the shadow of the Almighty. Lock me away, throw the key, Lord. Believe, just receive from Him this great and inexhaustible fountain of life, this presence that we are in here tonight, this great one who wants to flood our souls with His goodness, with His strength, with His power. Thank you, Lord.
Almighty God, Father, we so appreciate you tonight, Lord Jesus. Come into our midst, Father, making your presence so near to our hearts, Lord Jesus. Lord, tonight your presence, hearing your word, and feeling so close.
Thank you, Lord.
Exhorting us, Lord, to labor for the meat that is eternal.
Thank you, Jesus.
For Lord, tonight we feel so ashamed in your presence. And so many times, Lord, we go after the things that are so temporal, and we spend so much hours and days, Lord, and of things of no value, Lord. But Lord, deep down in our hearts, there's a hunger and a thirst, you know, that we want to please you, Lord Jesus. Lord, we want to do what you want us to do, Father. Many times you come to that spot, Lord, and there's such a burning desire in our hearts, deep down our souls, to please you, Lord. And many times, Lord, we get so out of focus. Many times the cares of this life entrap us and brings that come like a snare upon us, Lord. And we get out of it, Father, so quick, Lord. And oh, God, Lord Jesus, Lord, give us the key tonight in our hearts.
Yes.
The key to keep focus, Lord.
Jesus.
Lord, every minute, every hour, every day, Lord. For the enemy, there's so many things, Lord Jesus. For your sin, the cares of this life, Lord, come upon us, Lord. And Lord, the cares is not doing wrong things, Lord. It's not smoking or drinking, Lord, or cursing, but the natural things.
Yes.
The things that we have to do, Lord.
Yes.
But Lord, it comes upon us and we get so involved, so deep, Lord.
Yes.
And we spend so much of time, Father. Lord, we give you so little, Father. The things that is eternal, Lord. Oh, God, give us revelation tonight. Oh, how Paul stood in the Ephesian age. He said, since I've heard of your faith,
hallelujah,
I have ceased to pray.
Thank you, Lord.
That God revealed to you and open your eyes, give you illumination, and you may know your purpose.
Hallelujah.
That I may know the power of God and working in us and towards us. How your prophet cried in this age, Lord, he said, Lord, we ought to call upon you more than anything else to seek you, Lord, for divine revelation, Father. For with divine revelation in our lives, Lord, we have the devil's answer.
Thank you, Lord.
Lord, there's no such prevailing power than revelation. Lord, may your word leave our minds and drip down in our hearts.
Yes.
And become such a spiritual experience, Lord. Such a reality, Lord Jesus. Granted, Father. That's what we desire, Lord. Fellowship with you.
Yes.
Commune with realities, Lord.
Hallelujah.
To walk in that word and that word working through us, Lord. Oh, God, Father. Becoming the word every day, obeying your word, see it manifest in our lives. That's how we desire, Lord. We have nothing else to live for, Father. But to please you and to be in your service. And to do the things you have ordained us for you to do. For us to do, Lord. Not halfway, Lord, But towards it, fulfilling the purpose you have called us for, Father.
Hallelujah.
Oh, grant each and every one of our lives tonight. That's our greatest desire to please you, Lord Jesus. How we thank you tonight for your word. Exhort us, encouraging us, Father. We surrender ourselves unto you, Lord. Unreservedly tonight, Father. Oh, God, Lord. Everything that we are, Lord. Everything that we desire to be, Lord. We drop it tonight, and Lord, we have one desire in our hearts.
Oh,
one
God.
Single eye, Father.
Yes.
To walk in the word, the scent of the word. Oh, God, Lord, to thy will, Lord Jesus Christ. Bless your people tonight, Lord. Them that desire a closer walk with you. Them that desire to know you in a more intimate way, Father.
Yes.
May your spirit make real to them, Lord. Granted, Lord Jesus. Them that need deliverance tonight and see not again a victory, Father. Lord, we come in faith, speaking your word tonight, Lord. Lord, we rebuke every false prayer tonight, Lord.
Lord.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
Satan, you have the hold upon us. For we come in the blood of Jesus Christ, not with the blood tonight.
Lord.
You can't stand before us tonight, Satan. We claim our rights tonight. Rebuke in the name of Jesus Christ. How we thank you for deliverance, Father.
Oh,
blessed be your name, Lord. We thank you for the victory. We thank you for the liberty. We thank you for the deliverance, Lord. We thank you for freedom tonight, Father. Oh, blessed be your name, Lord.
Glory.
Resist every devil, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, we thank you, Father. Oh, bless your name tonight. Bless your man servant, Lord. I just stand here to minister God and the Lord Jesus. God, give him the wisdom, Lord. The understanding, Lord. The divine leadership, Father. For Lord, you have such a responsibility to lead a great people as your bride tonight. Such a charge, Lord. He needs you, Father. Oh, bless him, Lord. May him be so close in his heart, Lord. Continue to pour yourself in his life, Lord. In our almighty way, Lord Jesus. Oh, grant him, Lord, that we can be benefited, Father. In your deacons tonight, Lord. May you have called to stand in the garden ministry. Give them divine wisdom, Lord. Give them all the Holy Spirit in their lives, Lord. May they walk as servants to your people, Lord, in love. Just assist them to help your people, Lord. Wherever they may call upon, Father, oh God, grant it, Lord Jesus. May they walk in humility and love, Lord. In the trust is, Lord. Give them wisdom, oh God, to make the right decisions, Lord. In everything they need to do, Father, may it be to your honor, to your glory, to your perfect will, oh God. Only the ushers in our midst, Lord. The workers, Lord. The men that bread that clean the place, Lord. Oh, God, every bread, every worker, Lord Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
The librarians tonight, Lord.
Yes.
Remember them, Father. It's because of their efforts, Lord. Lord, a Sunday school teachers, Lord Jesus, tonight. Remember them, Father. How we used to appreciate their work and their labors of love to us, Lord. All over the years of served unselfishly, Father. We thank you for them, Lord. It's because of their efforts tonight. We can enjoy this place. We can enjoy your presence. We can enjoy such an atmosphere. Because your people have given themselves unwillingly, Lord, unreservedly, Father, unwillingly unto you. Them that play the music, remember them, Lord. Encourage your hearts.
Hallelujah.
Them that come and sing specials, oh God. Continue to inspire and bless them and anoint them, oh God. Make them be a blessing, Lord Jesus, wherever they go, Father. Oh God, bless every brother, bless every sister. Them that are so unnoticed among us sometimes, remember them, Lord. May your presence be so real in their lives, Father. We love everyone tonight. We thank you for every person tonight, Lord. We thank you for every brother. We thank you for every sister, Lord. We bless your precious name tonight, Father. How we love one another. We thank you for one another, Father, oh God. For they're part of us tonight, Lord Jesus. Blessed be your wonderful name. Oh, God, remember the saints in Guyana, Lord.
Yes.
Remember the meetings next week, Father.
Yes,
maybe such a charge and encouragement to the brethren,
God.
Father. Oh, God, may they have some experience in our midst,
Lord.
That when they go back to their people, Father, they can take back something eternal with them,
Lord.
To share with your people, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Grant it, Lord Jesus.
Jesus.
Grant it, Father. How we thank you tonight for divine presence in our midst, Lord. Lord, we are so unworthy of that, Lord, but you always come and make yourself so real, Father. We are not worthy of this thing, but we thank you for your love and your grace. Continue to be with us, Lord, and to minister to our hearts, supply every need. We know you are doing your promise to do it, Father.
Yes, Lord.
How we thank you, Lord. Oh, God, we go commit ourselves in your hands, Father. Be these things that we have heard and have been not slip, Lord. But as we go, we embedded upon it, Lord Jesus. Grant that, Father, may we renew our lives, we ask. In the name of Jesus Christ, we give it thanks, Father.
Amen. We lift our hands and say, thank you, Jesus. We walk in the light, found by Sabbatical and Amen. God bless you. Let's be out early Saturday morning. Remember the services in printed song and CDs as well. Oh, we walk in the light.
In the light.
Walk in the light. We'll walk in the light. Oh, sing it now like a confession now. We'll walk in the light.
In the light, we'll walk. In the light, we'll walk.
Walk in the light. God bless you.